What if we had like a bacon scented, or like all these different types of food scented cosmetics or skincare products, but like as a gag gift? And we're like, huh, you know what? Let's explore it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Tolu's Notes. On this podcast, we'll explore how young adults invest their time and their money. I also have a written newsletter filled with valuable information that you can subscribe to at tolusnotes.com. Today, I'm chatting with an old friend and former business partner, Victor Zhang. Victor has a keen sense of humor, which he deploys into his entrepreneurial pursuits, as you'll soon find out. He has a contract manufacturing company that develops various products for businesses. The company also rose to the challenge during the hand sanitizer shortage we experienced earlier this year. This is the first episode I'm having with an entrepreneur, that is, an investor that chooses to allocate their time and their money into their business. Enjoy. A quick note, my mic got disconnected right before we started recording and was replaced by the mic in my headset. It's not a great mic, as you'll soon notice, but Victor's audio is perfect. Also, this is an audio-only episode. The YouTube version won't have any additional content.
Victor, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
Thanks, good. How have you been?
I've been good. It's been, when was the last time we had a chat like this? Was it 2 or 3 years ago?
Yeah. Oh, wow. 2017. Yeah, close to the end of 2017. So
that's crazy. When did you visit? When did you visit me in San Francisco?
Oh man, was that you know, I think that was 2018. So yeah, 2018.
Wow, it's been a while. What's up, man?
Yeah, just living the pandemic life, putting on some weight. You know, everybody else is doing.
So. We actually go way back to college. I think I met you freshman year of college when working for housing, but we didn't get to know each other that well. It's a senior year of college where we were actually roommates. And a fun fact about that is we had a lot of pets and animals in the apartment. So the apartment had like 5 people in it, but then we also had like 2 large puppies, 2 cats, 1 large pig, and a fish.
Or a 2 fish, 2 at the end.
All at the same time. And that was just, that was a wild ride. I don't know how we came out of that.
I know.
Victor, what do you do now?
So now I am in short, I'm in sales, or sales and marketing for a manufacturer of, at an FDA licensed manufacturer of nutritional supplements, skincare products, and over-the-counter drugs. My main focus is sales, marketing, and also starting to do more new product development too that I'm starting to delve in.
Let's dive into that for a bit.
Sure.
So what are some of the products that you guys produce?
So what a lot of brands out there do is they don't manufacture the products themselves.
Yeah.
They're typically get a contract manufactured to do it for them, so that's where we're at. So I can't share specifically what the products we make are, but in essence, we specialize in high-end skincare, professional skincare, and also liquid nutritional supplements like your liquid calciums, liquid multivitamins, and that's pretty much what we produce.
Does that need FDA approval or something like that?
So supplements actually do not need FDA approval.
Okay.
And that's why pretty much on every single supplement, you'll see a little note saying this product has not been approved by the FDA to treat or diagnose anything and all that.
Gotcha. And who's your target audience for the products?
For the products, that'll vary from brand to brand. Like we have a couple of professional brands that only sell to medical professionals and whatnot. And then other people, we have a couple of network marketing companies too, or brands that go the traditional route, sell through wholesalers, retailers, and all that big box guys.
So as a manufacturing company, I understand that all other businesses sort of outsource to you guys, but are you guys doing anything in-house?
So throughout the history of the company, the company has not actually. They've been exclusively doing contract work. But recently, since the pandemic hit, one huge opportunity that the company saw was obviously in hand sanitizers, which now it's everywhere. But there was a portion of time, like 2-3 months when the pandemic first started, everybody started freaking out about, you know, the toilet paper and all that. Yeah. Of course, hand sanitizer was a huge one, and there was a national shortage. That's when we launched our first in-house product under the company name. We sold it as a bulk gallon, just because of mainly due to shipping concerns, because shipping little tiny bottles, shipping will kill you. So selling in bulk is a lot better in that sense. So yeah, we're slowly starting to develop new products, starting with hand sanitizers here.
Yeah.
And we're also working on like a smaller set that's going to be launching at the end of the year for, you know, the holidays. It's gonna be like a little gift set, multiple colors and all that.
Are you doing marketing on your end? Are you still B2C with the hand sanitizers for now?
We are not doing much marketing right now for the gallons. Pretty much what happened is the supply did end up catching up with demand.
Okay.
Probably overly so. We're at a point where pretty much now the gallons aren't selling that well. Okay. And that's understandable because there's supply everywhere. And I know the quality has in a lot of places, you'll notice like a tequila type smell. I don't know
if you
experienced that, but like even in places like the Irvine Spectrum, the hand sanitizers that they bought, it's like these huge shopping centers, right? The hand sanitizers they buy are these low quality hand sanitizers, because the FDA gave approval to pretty much to a lot of people to start manufacturing hand sanitizers. Normally you need a drug license from the FDA to manufacture it, because you have to apply. But they gave approval to distilleries, to a lot of other types of companies to start manufacturing this stuff, which is why, you know, the huge backlash with the methanol appeared.
Oh, interesting. So, are you guys licensed under, so if the FDA was to remove that approval, would you guys still be able to make this product?
Yes, we are licensed.
Yes, you also mentioned some of the supplements that you guys are making. Now, these nutritional or I guess well-being supplements have a lot of controversy around them. Mm-hmm. How do you guys, I guess, see through that as a company?
The good part about being a contract manufacturer is that the brands have to deal with that part. So the headaches on them, of course, they make a lot more money at the end, but the headache will go towards them. But as far as the controversy behind supplements, I guess as long as you target the ones that have some scientific proof backing them, a lot of vitamins do have scientific backing for them, like just target the right minerals, you should be fine.
Oh, nice. So your company you guys sell the shovels for the gold rush. Is that a way to see it?
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Also, let's go back a little bit to Fat Birds. So the history of this company was, and I think it's so intriguing, was that you guys made these lotion, this scented lotion that just add different and some peculiar scents to them. And I wanted to support the company, so I ordered a pack. And I'm kind of having a flashback back to when I was still working at NerdWallet. I took them in to my coworkers, and just to, you know, test these lotions out and to get the smell and everything. And it just caused this kind of big commotion. This, oh yeah, you guys see what's on Tolu's desk. And I remember when I left, I had the lotion and I was just kind of joking around. I was like, so is no one gonna keep this? I was trying to give it to people. Everyone was just kind of like, no, we don't want it. I think I had the skunk. You guys had like this skunk scent. It's just so peculiar. Like, what was the motivation for creating something that was really fun? Because that was one of the most fun ideas I've seen in a while.
Yeah, I mean, I've always liked to do these, I'm the type of person to always have like these wacko ideas. and this idea where it was a Jennifer, who's my girlfriend, and we've been together for about almost 7 years. At the time, we were just talking over dinner, just joking around about like the different, what if we had like a bacon scented, or like all these different types of food scented cosmetics or skincare products, but like as a gag gift. And we're like, huh, you know what, let's explore it. And then we checked out this company called Demeter Fragrance that was already doing this, except they were more of a, less of a wacko type company, but the products are still pretty, how do I put it? Eccentric. Like they have like grass fragrance or grass scented perfumes or like cat scented, baby powder scented and all that stuff. And then they were doing incredibly well. We're like, wow. And then apparently they pretty much had zero competition in that field.
Wow.
How many people would think about doing something like that? So we wanted to do something like that, but more of a wacko fun type of a market. One good thing is that when you have these wacko ideas or concepts, it's very, very easy to market. Like it's incredibly easy to market because people will just, people won't see it as you trying to push a product to them. They'll see it as, wow, that's such a ridiculous product that I got to share with my friends. I got to show everybody. So it was an easy product to market. So that's also why we chose to pursue this. The lack of competitors, the marketing, and it was just a fun idea.
Yeah. So how did you guys actually come up with the scents? I believe you had like a fireplace scent that kind of smelled like burning firewood. You had, how did you come up with them?
So as far as how did we develop it or how did we think of which scent to
use? How did you develop the scents themselves?
Okay. So Jennifer is actually a chemist. She's a R&D chemist. And then also there is a, there's a lot of flavors and fragrance libraries. Not libraries, but companies that produce anything you can imagine. Like there's this show called Nathan For You. It's a guy who goes around and he gives ridiculous business advice. And the first episode he did was for a yogurt company, like a Yogurtland type company. Yeah. And he proposed to them to have a poop flavored yogurt. And then what they did was they just reached out to one of these fragrance houses and then they got the fragrance for them. I mean, flavor for them. And they just flavored all the yogurt as poop. So we pretty much did the same thing with the lotions.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. So what's Fatbirds now? What are you guys doing with the idea?
So Fatbirds has been dormant since we decided to stop pursuing the original idea. And the reason why we stopped was, one, the margins were, so for a gag gift like this, you have to price it fairly reasonably. And then the margins, so one, the margins were low. And then secondly, when manufacturing the product, the entire facility would stink. Like the fragrance, the fragrance that you mentioned, that was a way off the wall was actually a poop scented, a lotion.
Wow. And then
when they were manufacturing that, it was a horrible experience in the facility. So then, yeah, we just decided to scrap it. But it's been dormant for up until now, and what it's being planned for is we're gonna rebrand it as a nutritional supplement company. For kids, actually.
Oh, okay.
For one, the logo is there, the name's there, and we have access to a the manufacturer that we both work for, actually. So the idea there is to provide very, very affordable supplements that are high quality for families, mainly because my background, growing up from a low income, a single mother household. So I wanted to pursue something that we could share stuff that people need at a very reasonable price. And how we do that is we're going to cut out every single step. We cut out the wholesaler, the distributor, the end retailer. And then since we are the brand, we're the brand and the manufacturer at the same time, we're able to cut out a lot of costs that the consumers end up paying for.
I feel like for all I've known, I've actually only seen you keep one 9-to-5 job. Everything after that has just been you doing your own thing. So my question would be, why take the entrepreneurship route versus working for someone else?
So that's mainly a personal preference. And it's also the fact that working a 9-to-5 job, you'll end up living a decent life. Like even the highest paying 9-to-5 jobs, is they lag behind, they fall behind small business owners, like even like a fairly sized small business owner. And a lot of it, to be honest with you, is for monetary reasons. And another part of it is having the freedom to create and take any direction you want is also a very good pro to live in this type of life. I think working for someone else is definitely a really good way to gain experience. At the same time, you can also gain experience going out to do it on your own. But definitely, I'd say a better way to go about it is to gain experience from a large company. So you pretty much see how they operate, like what works, because they're successful because they've been doing everything that has been working. So you get to see what works, gain more knowledge about different, I guess your role is pretty much limited to what you're doing, but you'll have exposure to all the other aspects of the company, all the other departments, how the company functions. And then that in turn becomes pretty good experience for you whenever you want to start your own gig, become an entrepreneur, do take that route.
Awesome. And what listeners may not know is that you're also a licensed real estate agent. Are you still licensed?
I'm actually not anymore.
Oh, wow. You stopped that.
Yeah. Yeah. I decided to can that completely just because I was going in too many different directions. So yeah. I had to have a better focus.
That's focus. Focus is always great, man. Victor, what are some must-read books that you feel every investor or small business owner or just for young investors or young adults, what are some books you feel like they should read so they can learn from them?
So on the investing end, I'm actually not too experienced. I haven't read too many books on that end besides your typical random walk down Wall Street and all that. But I'll delve more into the entrepreneurial side, which is actually investing in itself, like starting a business. It's pretty much making an investment too, right? And the most important type of content that I found to be helpful is, and I know that you're very aware of this too, is pretty much how to write a story. Because the story is the backbone of your whole company. And like, I'm not talking about how the company was started and your background, but the story of your product, your service, or anything you're trying to build is the key factor and could be a very key differentiating factor too from your competitors, depending on how you position yourself. And I guess a book that really stood out was I believe you've also read this one too. It's called Stories That Stick by Kendra Hall.
Stories That Stick? I don't remember. Maybe.
Okay. But yeah, she's like a professional storyteller, pretty much teaching you how to build a successful story that people could relate to. And then she has a couple of good case studies in there too as to how she helps some big brands succeed, and also how examples of huge brands running successful marketing campaigns. And a lot of it is just good storytelling. Nice. So I believe storytelling is very important and not pushed enough.
Well, Victor, thanks for coming on, man. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks.
Hello, hope you enjoyed that episode. You can support the show by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts and leaving a review. We're also on YouTube if you'd like to watch us smile and laugh as you listen. Also subscribe to my premium newsletter at tolusnotes.com. That's T-O-L-U-S notes.com for timeless lessons for young investors. See you next week.